Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the death of Phil Lynott, in case you don't know who he was. He was a famous Irish-British singer of the 1970s, 1980s, with a band called Thin Lizzy. So Philip Paris Lynott, always known by the abbreviation of his Christian name, Phil. So he was one of very, very few black Irish people at the time. And that's him. So known for his distinctive, slightly hoarse singing voice, but incredibly dulcet and listenable, resonant. His band, I don't think exists anymore, Thin Lizzy. And he sang for various other bands, The Crowd, Skid Row, The Greedies, Grand Slam, and so forth. Was a rock band, blues. People said heavy metal, you know, sang some Irish folk songs and stuff like that. So yeah, Mr. Lynott, he's born in West Bromwich, that's in England, to an Irish mother and a black Guyanese father. That's 1949, so just after Windrush. There were very few black people in the United Kingdom in those days, even fewer in Southern Ireland. Interracial relationships were still highly controversial. There was a lot of frank racialism at the time, but there was no colour bar, but there's a lot of open prejudice. So many people would very much disapprove of an interracial couple. And indeed, his parents were unwed. So him being born unnupturally solemnized was heavily stigmatized at the time. People would be verbally abused, would be publicly disgraced for the fact that their parents weren't wed. Thankfully, moved on for that. And the very concept of illegitimacy seems to be obsolescent now. His parents never married, but his father was a figure in his life, fortunately. And so he spent the earliest years of his life in Manchester with his mother, Philomena. Incidentally, the same Christian name as that woman who gave her name to the film about unwed pregnancy. So he had two younger siblings who were then given away. So he was one of very, very few black children in Manchester. I think the only black child in school in Moss Side, which was a poverty-stricken area of Manchester, often racked by drugs crime a generation later. When he was 8 years old, he returned to Ireland. I'm not sure he'd ever been to Hibernia at that point, growing up in Crumlin, a working-class area of Dublin. And remember, Ireland, we were economically well behind Great Britain until the 90s. And that's why there was mass unemployment, but those people left. And so that's where his grandfather was so important to him, because he'd only met his father a few times. He went to school. He was raised a nominal Catholic, but not academic at all. There was a Christian Brothers school there. The Christian Brothers, they were an order of priests who did an awful lot of teaching, who were known for their very strict discipline indeed. And so with other teenagers in the late 60s, that's when he found his band. He did various low-skilled jobs, construction and stuff like that. And then Thin Lizzy, as we really got going in 1969. So, I mean, he lived through the sexual revolution and flower power, hippies, the anti-Vietnam War movement and so on. He wasn't very political, though he did dabble in drugs. So he was just someone of a very sunny disposition, interested in entertaining people, having a good time. And he was certainly had an incredible gift for those. And what a zest for life he had. So they followed an English rock band, supporting them, Slade, who were well known in the West Midlands. Noddy Holder was their front man. And whereas Phil Lynott was the front man of his band, okay, so a guitarist and indeed a vocalist, top 10 hits. And their reworking of Whiskey in the Jar, an 18th century folk song mentioning Cork and Killarney and so on, brought that to an international audience. So in that sense, they were very creative, well known for Jailbreak. One of their best songs were The Boys Are Back in Town. The Boys Are Back in Town, driving the old men crazy and so forth. So he used to perform in the United States, Canada, the Netherlands, as well as the British Isles. He'd been experimenting with drugs certainly from the 70s, and he was having a serious problem in those days. I mean, smoking was nearly universal, especially people in the entertainment industry. And then he started abusing heroin and so on. So it's amazing he lived to the age of 36. That was it. More hits through the 1980s. Some number ones. Used to play the Reading Festival quite a lot. And he also penned poetry. So he wasn't so much into classic literature. It was really just he found his own voice. So he's an Irish citizen, Irish by identity, and so on. I'm not sure if he ever claimed British citizenship, to which he was certainly entitled. So, yeah, he was married, and they had two children. He'd also become a father as a teenager, but not been involved in the life of his son, who was placed in an orphanage, which was not a nice place at all. Anyway, but in the early 80s, he began to descend into drug abuse and alcoholism, living in Kew, a very she area of London, because he was a very well-off man by that stage. I mean, probably in modern terms, a multimillionaire, but he was not sensible with money. Anyway, so he did try to clean himself up, but without success. He died of septicemia, probably he was suffering from septicemia, subsequently pneumonia and heart failure, brought on by that. So it was all ultimately linked to his heroin. So yeah, then he died on the 4th of January, 1986, the height of the Thatcher years. He didn't seem to have a take on the Ulster conflict. So he was, his funeral was at St. Elizabeth's Church in Richmond upon Thames, but then his body was returned to Dublin for burial at St. Fintan's in Sutton, County Dublin, not too far from where he grew up. Okay. So he's got a very modest grave, actually, but that's him. So he's an inspiration to a lot of Black Irish people because, you know, I remember Ireland in the 1980s, there were almost no Irish people, almost no non-white people. But I remember in Cork, there being one Chinese restaurant. You could go all day around Cork and not see a non-white person. I remember Dublin in the early 90s, seeing a non-white person was rare. But what if you see one or two non-white people per day? 1998, begin to see quite a few. I remember RTE saying, new multiracial Ireland in 1998. And I scoffed at that because it seemed like a major exaggeration. And as it was not now, it would be quite accurate. Often there were clerical students, you know, nuns, priests, monks coming over to Ireland for their education and stuff like that. So, yeah, he blazed the trail for Black Irish people. There's a statue up in Dublin. He's a bit of a rock icon, someone who was taken for us far too soon, who was creative and suffered that terrible self-destructive addiction. And, you know, heroin was ravaging his native Dublin at the time. You know, John Gilmore and others were bringing it in. People were injecting it. AIDS just been discovered in 1981. People weren't aware of the dangers of needle sharing, and it began to decimate certain communities in North Dublin, leading to a lot of crime and stuff like that. So that is Phil Lynott, taken for us far too young, an inspiration to many. You might have heard his songs and not realize who it's by. So an uber cool singer. I must go to that St. Elizabeth Church in Richmond. I know where it is, where his funeral was held. Everybody, he was interviewed in the Late Late Show and other things. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.